Dear congregation, times of trouble and danger are times to seek for shelter and protection. To be safe from threats, we hide, don't we, from the threats. And right now, both in our country and throughout our world, people are being told to stay at home, or at least to stay away from crowded places, to even quarantine themselves often, which means to go into isolation, either to protect themselves from others or to protect others from themselves. And over the past few days, as people have begun to do that, some of us are feeling even the effects of what that means to isolate yourself, to have to be quarantined for some time. But in our text this evening, we have something like it, and yet different as well. For God calls people everywhere into a special kind of isolation, a spiritual place of safety, a spiritual hiding place, not just for some, but for all. It's so necessary for all of us, whether we're young or old, whoever we are, and we hope to see this with the Lord's help from our text, which you can find in the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah 26, verse 20. Isaiah 26, verse 20. Where we have the word of the Lord in Isaiah 26, verse 20. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. Our theme with God's help this evening is a gracious call to enter, shut, and hide. A gracious call to enter, shut, and hide. We'll see, first of all, the reason to hide. Secondly, the place to hide. Thirdly, the way we should hide. And lastly, the invitation to hide. A gracious call to enter, shut, and hide. First of all, the reason to hide, the place to hide, the way to hide, and the invitation to hide. Well, congregation, the prophet Isaiah lived in dark times. The people had engaged in much idolatry, and as a result, God was bringing judgment. Even the leaders, including the house of David, had corrupted themselves. And because of the people's idolatry and wickedness, God raised up Isaiah to prophesy hard things, at least especially in the beginning of his prophecy. Things that would come to pass, judgment, curses, misery upon the people who had left the Lord. And especially in chapters 1 through 12, Isaiah prophesies to Israel about this coming judgment. And then in 13 through 23, Isaiah looks beyond Israel to the nations who also have corrupted themselves, the surrounding nations, and he calls them to repentance because judgment is coming upon them as well. So first Israel, and then other nations. And then on top of that, in chapters 24 through 26, God widens the circle even further and speaks to the whole earth and prophesies of universal judgments that were to come upon all the earth. And just before that section ends, in the end of 26, the Lord issues a call, a final call, you could say, to hide, to enter, shut, and hide, because he says indignation is coming. Now, what is indignation? It means anger, God's just anger or wrath because of sin. And it pictures there God's anger as something that fills a cup and he's about to turn that over to blanket this earth. And the Lord did that, didn't he, in the Old Testament in the days of Noah. When after the preaching of Noah for 120 years, the day came when Noah was called to enter into the ark, that place of safety. And then the heavens were ripped open, and the fountains of the deep were also torn open, and the indignation of God, the judgment of God, came over this whole earth. And except for those who were hidden in the ark, everyone else was consumed. Or this morning we heard about Egypt under judgment. When plague after plague, God poured out judgment over rebellious Pharaoh and his hosts and all the Egyptians. And then, a little later, judgment came over the Canaanites because of their sin. The cup of their iniquity had reached its full, and God judged the Canaanites all within a short span. And then, too, the heavens opened and hailstones came down, and the people met their Maker. And so these are just a few instances in which God rained down his judgment, his indignation upon the people of the Old Testament. But don't think that this was just in the Old Testament, because the New Testament also speaks about God's just judgment that will come upon this earth. In various times, in various ways. Read the book of Revelation, as we also heard this morning. But then finally, in the end of time, when the iniquity of all the nations is full, then God will pour judgment. Revelation 14 verse 10 says, "The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation." And God tells us that there are precursors to that. There are signs of the times. There are wars. There are rumors of wars. There are famines. There are pestilences. There's persecution. There's false teaching. All these things just come over our world as precursors, as signs of that final coming of Christ and the judgment that will accompany it. And all these things are there for us to take heed to listen to hear the voice of the rod, as Amos says, and him who has appointed it. And isn't this something of what's happening even in our own time? When in the course of a few days, yes, weeks and months, but really in this past week, leaders, rulers, organizations are scrambling to keep up with the developments that our world, our globe is subject to. And so often we think that life will just continue the way we know it and see it. But this is an instance in which we at least catch a glimpse of the fact that that's not so. That everything can grind to a halt so very quickly. And in today's case, all because of a virus that you and I can't even see with the naked eye. That's how subtle and yet how powerful things are and how quickly things can go. And that's why it's so appropriate that our president also called for prayer today, that as a nation we would seek God, the God who has allowed us to exist up till now, the God who gives us air to breathe and so many benefits, that we would seek him like Nineveh did, back in the day when Jonah preached, that we would seek God and cry out for his mercy. And verse 21 of Isaiah 26 puts it like this: the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. Lest man would think that God doesn't see, that God doesn't know. Yes, God may forbear. Yes, God is long-suffering. But the Bible is very clear that God will arise and his judgments will come over this world. The Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. Dear congregation, friends, and all who are listening, if you're an inhabitant of this earth, take heed. You can't escape this except in one place. And that's to what we want to look here now. Secondly, the place to hide. Come, my people. Notice the Lord's gracious call. Spurgeon, in a sermon on this text, he says, like a hen clucks at her chicks when the hawk flies over, so the Lord sounds the alarm, a gracious call to hide. And that's how we have to see this. Come, my people, come, come, come. Well, the place to hide. Now, we're thankful for places where people can quarantine themselves even now. There are military bases that have been made available for that, and other people can quarantine themselves at home. In fact, they're told to do that. And if we switch the picture here, children, you'll maybe know about how to prepare for a tornado. Have you ever done a drill to prepare for a tornado? And in your school or wherever it is that you're having this drill, they'll tell you the places where you can and must hide if there's an alarm that tells you a tornado is coming. And in our text, the Lord says, come and enter thou into thy chambers. And actually, literally, it's enter into your innermost chambers, into the safest place. And children, if you've ever done one of these tornado drills, you know that the safest places are usually in the center of the house, maybe under a stairway, away from the walls, the outside walls of a house or a building. And so the Lord too here says, enter into your innermost chambers. So what is the Lord saying here? You know, it's a wonderful thing when in trouble people open their Bibles. I hope you've even done that during these days in a fresh way, in a way that you seek God. You need some answer. You need some insight. You need to know what to do. It's a wonderful thing when people open their Bibles or when they go to prayer and they seek a quiet place in their home. They shut the door behind them and they seek God. They do business with God, as we say. They're alone with God. They go into their closet, which maybe they've left empty for so very long, and they seek God and they cry to God and they seek for mercy from God. And all that's very good. We must open our Bibles. We must read them. As we've never read them before, speak, Lord. Speak to my soul. We must pray. We must seek a quiet space. Have you done that? In which you pour out your heart before God, in which you seek mercy from God. And yet when the Lord says here, come, my people, enter into thy chambers, he's not just simply saying, go and find a quiet place to read and to pray. As good as that is, the Lord is saying more. Because really, can you hide simply in your closet? Can you hide from coming judgment simply by opening your word, simply by praying? No, you need, as we heard this morning, you need something more, something greater. You need a hiding place of which you know this is secure. This is safe in the judgment of Almighty God. What's the Lord saying here? Well, he's picturing himself here as the chambers of his people, as places where he himself is a hiding place for them. You see, we should compare Scripture with Scripture, and the Bible makes very clear, also from the psalm that we read, that the Lord himself is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Many of the Psalms call God a strong rock. The idea there is a cave in a rock where you can hide. Or a fortress, a high tower, Psalm 18. Or Psalm 61, David calls God his shelter, his strong tower from the enemy. And in the next Psalm, Psalm 62, thou hast been for me a rock, a salvation, a defense, and a refuge. And in the book of Proverbs, you might know this text. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The Lord is that tower, and his name, or his attributes, his character, that's the true hiding place for sinners everywhere. Isn't he, in the words of the hymn, the rock of ages, cleft for me? Let me hide myself in thee. Do you see, congregation, how the Lord makes himself to be the place of safety? He makes himself to be the chambers. He uses the plural there. And often in Hebrews, a plural means this is something big. This is large. Untold numbers of people can fit in here. You don't have to stand on the outside and wonder, well, will there be room for someone like me? There's chambers. It's big. It's large. Chambers. Christ says in a different context, he says, but in my Father's house are many mansions. There's plenty of room. Don't be concerned that if you come to Christ, that there won't be enough room. Enter into thy chambers. You see, the Lord himself is the hiding place for sinners. He says it maybe most clearly in Isaiah, so a few chapters later, Isaiah 32, verse 2. You might want to look at this later. Isaiah 32, verse 2. A man shall be as a hiding place from the storm, as a covert from the tempest. A man. Who is that man? Well, it's the Lord himself. It's the God-man. He alone is the hiding place of sinners. No matter how great their sin, and no matter how many sinners would come to Christ, yet, he says, there is room. Still, there is room. Now, there are two sermons, if you want to read more about this. There's a sermon by John Flavel about this text, and there's a beautiful sermon by Charles Spurgeon. And they talk about how in the Lord and in the Lord Jesus Christ, there are so many different rooms. And all these rooms speak of the glory of God and the various attributes of God. And they picture it like this. And maybe you can study this later, but just so you can take this with you. He says there's a room for God's power where the sinner can come in all his weakness and all his frailty. And the walls of that room are so strong because God is a God of power and of might. And Satan can't get you there. And the law even can't reach you there. It is safe in God, in his power, and in his goodness. That's another room, says Flavel, and his wisdom. When you lack all wisdom. And isn't that the case in our day? When you hear so many different things, and you have a plan, and then your plan isn't good and isn't right, and you have to make a new plan, and you find yourself just absolutely ignorant and foolish, and all this is beyond you, and you cry to God and you say, Lord, I'm such a fool, I need wisdom. Well, in Christ there is not only power and goodness, but there's wisdom, there's faithfulness, there's so many rooms in which sinners can hide securely and safely, and all of it is a refuge. A man shall be as a refuge. But notice something about our text. Maybe you already noticed it, but the Lord says, enter into thy chambers, into your chambers. And you say, well, what's that? I mean, my chambers? And how does that square with what you just said about the Lord Jesus Christ being the refuge of sinners? Well, don't you see the gospel in this, that the Lord says that he is thy refuge? He's your refuge. He's your hiding place. He gives himself away to sinners. He puts the name of sinners right onto it. It's as if he puts it over this refuge, the sinner's refuge. It's yours, sinner. If you will but enter in, then you too will be safe. Enter into thy chambers. You see, congregation, there's nothing from us that will ever keep us safe, that will ever secure us in the judgment of God. But there is one place of safety. It's Jesus Christ, and he is for sinners. He isn't for angels. He isn't for devils. He's for sinners like you, sinners like me, sinners of whom the world, of which the world is so full. Enter into thy chambers. Do you see how the Lord gives himself away? How he comes so very close? Your chambers. Christ crucified for sinners. And what do we say back to the Lord? We say, like Psalm 90 says it, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. The Lord has been so faithful. He's been such a secure dwelling place, a home. Oh, to be at home with the Lord. Oh, to know what it is to hide in him, to be secure in him. If you're a child of God here today, you know, at least in principle, what that is, to come home again to God. You've wandered far from him. Like the prodigal, you've gone to a distant land. And there you came to the end of your resources. And you couldn't hide anywhere. You couldn't secure what you needed anywhere. And so something in you turned you back home. And you said, I will arise and I will go to my Father. I'm going home. I need home. And you turned your face towards home. And who is home but God? Who is home but our Creator? Who is home but the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who says to sinners everywhere, come and welcome to Jesus Christ. Come unto me and find rest and find shelter. No matter who you are, no matter how far you've wandered, I am a home for lost sinners. Don't you see the Lord Jesus Christ standing outside of Jerusalem? As Jerusalem was about to face judgment, a generation later, And he stands there on the peak and he overlooks the city of Jerusalem, this city that hardened itself against him. And he looks over it and he bursts out weeping. The Savior weeps for impenitent sinners. And he says, "How oft would I have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings in that place of safety, that place where you're secure. All my calls are for that. All my beckonings, all my invitations are for that. Come to me and live. Seek me and live." I don't know, children, if you've heard about this, but they have found in Pompeii, where the volcano came out and this lava poured over this whole city on one occasion, they found, and actually they found it much later, centuries later, they found a chicken and all its little chicks were under its wings. That's what happens when danger is close. They come to the safety, to the wings of the mother chick. And in that particular instance, of course, the mother chick could do nothing. But how about the Lord? How about the one who says, "Come unto me, and you will be safe"? And that's what he says in our text this evening. "Come, sinners, come and hide. I'm the only place of safety. In me, you are secure." My friend, are you hiding in Christ? Have you come home? Have you turned your face towards home? And are you saying, "Lord, please take me back. Accept me. Hide me. O thou Savior, hide. Till the storm of life be past. Oh, hide in Christ even tonight, my dear friend. There's safety in him. There's only safety in him." Or perhaps someone hearing me is saying, but how to hide? What does it mean to hide? You talk about a hiding place, but I'm so far from God. I've wandered so far. I can't reach him. How can I ever be safe? How can I ever be secure in this God? I've sinned against him. Well, listen to our text. "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast." All of us understand at an earthly level, especially now with the coronavirus and how it's coming so very close, we understand that we should take heed to that. Let's not be brazen fools that just put ourselves in the way of danger unnecessarily. No, we take precautions. At least all of those of us whose eyes are open, we take some reasonable precautions, don't we? Well, won't you then listen to the Lord, who can give you the ultimate spiritual advice, instructions, and he knows it so perfectly. And he says here three things in the words of our text. He says, "Enter, shut, and hide." Enter, shut, and hide. Remember those three words, even if you forget everything else. Enter, shut, and hide. What does it mean to enter into this hiding place? Well, first of all, to enter into the hiding place means we're outside by nature. You're exposed, my dear friend, if you are not in Christ. You are in danger. You're not secure. And Christ is saying here not, "Oh, just pretend you're safe," or "just make your own shelter," or "stay where you are." No, he says, "Enter." Enter. It's a command. It's an imperative. And isn't this exactly what the Lord said while he was on the earth? Didn't he say, "I am the door. If by me any man enter in, he shall be saved." Or, "Enter in," he said, "at the strait gate. For wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many there be that enter in thereat. But Narrow is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto everlasting life. What does it mean to enter? To enter means that we hear the call of God, and we take it most seriously. And it is by faith to give up every other resource, to acknowledge God's verdict concerning ourselves, that we are sinners, that we are exposed to utter danger, to damnation itself, to agree to that, to come under God, and by faith to rest on God in Jesus Christ alone, in the Word, on the basis of His promise, heeding His call, so that when He says enter, you take this command back to the Lord and you say, Lord, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about this. This is thy word, thy sovereign, majestic, splendid word. But how to do this? And the Lord says, come unto me, fall upon me, rest upon my righteousness in Jesus Christ. Don't pretend that you have the answers yourself. Don't pretend that you can make up part of this safe place yourself. No, go through Christ. Heed His call. Be reconciled unto God. Hear His voice today. Listen to every single word that He speaks in His word, doubting nothing, making no excuse, confessing your sins and your misdeeds, turning towards God, making no excuses from your side, humbly coming, poor and needy, without money, without price, without anything to avail from your side, but to come as a naked, empty-handed sinner to Christ in the gospel. That means you don't wait for some mystical revelation at some later time, something other people may have had and you just don't have, and so you sit there. And you sit there, and you sit there. No, the Lord doesn't say that at all. He says, enter in at the straight gate in the gospel. Enter in through me. I am the door. That, first of all, enter. Shut the door behind thee. Now you understand this, don't you, children? What good would a shelter be if you went into it and then you left the door wide open? If you're in some bunker, for example, some military bunker, and there you are inside, but you leave the door wide open. Or some tornado hiding place. No, the wind is going to come and blast this whole thing away, and certainly you're not safe until the door is shut. What does it mean, spiritually speaking, to shut the door? Let me give you an example. If someone were to come to my office and they were to open the door and they were to stand there in the hallway and talk to me through the door over the threshold, but they wouldn't come in. That's so very different than someone who comes and he knocks on my door and he comes in, shuts the door, sits down. That's someone who means business. That's someone who desperately needs me or whatever. You understand that, don't you? But so often in spiritual things, people come close to the door. They might take, in a certain sense, a step over the threshold, but they have a step on the other side as well, and they're doing one of these things. They're lingering. They're halting on two opinions. Some of you may be doing exactly that. You hear what I'm saying, and you know it's serious. The things that are happening around us, you know that the day is coming when you'll stand before God to give account, and you've heard the gospel maybe many times, and but you're halting on two opinions. You want to be saved, and yet you want your life as you know it. You want to go to heaven, But you want your friends who are not Christians. You want to be assured of salvation, but you also want your sins, at least for a while. Well, my friends, that's not possible. Enter. Shut the door behind you. What that means also, congregation, means that you trust this hiding place, this safe place, with everything that you are. That means you don't have a backup option. You don't go into this hiding place and think, well, if this doesn't work, then I'll quickly go out and I'll try something else. A lot of people do that. They know that Christ is a Savior, and they think about Him like that, and they try to be serious about religion, but they have some other route. Maybe their own righteousness. Maybe just kind of working up their own righteousness. So that in case Christ is not completely enough, they have something of themselves. Or there's other people who want Christ and their experiences. So they have something that they can wear around as a badge. I went through this and I did that. No, my dear friends, shut the door behind you. Christ must save, and Christ alone. Now, that doesn't mean that when you shut the door that you know everything so well. It doesn't mean that you're such some great Christian or some great believer who knows the ins and outs of everything. No, many of these people have shut the door behind them. They've had so many doubts. They've had so many fears. They've had so many assaults of Satan. They've had so much pressure put upon them by their friends. And if you ask them, you know, are you such a great believer? They'll say, no, man. I scarcely think I'm a believer at all. Their faith may be weak. But my dear friend, if that's you, do shut the door behind you. John Flavel says it like this: don't leave the door open to fears, objections, doubts, and especially Satan, who's at your heel, trying to get you, trying to pull you back, trying to get you on the other side of the door, or at least halting on two opinions. John Flavel says, cleave to the Lord with resolved reliance. Enter. And shut the door. That means, congregation, that doubts and fears which will creep into our minds and hearts, they need to be cast from us, not nurtured, not kept close. No, you may have doubts, you may have many fears, but shut the door based on the Lord's command to doubts, to fears, to objections, to excuses. Enter, shut, and thirdly, hide. That's what the Lord says here. Hide. Sinner, hide in Christ. Don't just enter, don't just shut, but hide. What that means is feel the security, enjoy the safety, draw close to the heart of Christ, to that innermost chamber that Christ is and has, His beating heart of love for sinners. Hide, hide, sinner, hide. What that means for you, child of God, is that you press close to the Lord. You know what it is to wander in your mind and in your heart far from the Lord. You do it all the time. Then the Lord comes and He calls you and He appears for your help and He beckons to you and He reveals Himself to you in a fresh way. And you say, why did I leave the Lord? Why did I turn my back on the Lord? And you press close to Him, still closer to thy side I press, for near thee all is well. And when a sinner like that hides in Christ, he comes up against the strong foundation of his salvation, which is in Christ's righteousness. He comes, as it were, through the pierced hands and the pierced side of Christ, and he hides. He feels a security of Christ for him. One time Martin Luther was severely accosted by the temptations and of Satan and doubts about his salvation. And he went to see a godly man, Van Staupich, and the man said, "Luther," he says, "you need to press through the wounds of Christ close to his beating heart, and all your doubts and your fears will go, because the love of Christ is better than life." I'm told that at Niagara Falls, there's a way behind the rock of Niagara Falls. Maybe you've been there. I haven't. But where you can shelter and you see the water, the torrents of water coming down right before your very eyes. It's something that if it hit you, it would kill you instantly. But there you are, safe and secure in the rock. And in a certain sense, the water is coming right over you, but the rock protects you. You're safe. If the rock wasn't there, you wouldn't be safe. But now you're under this flood, but you're safe, you're secure. Just like Noah in the ark. You know, the judgment was coming down everywhere, including on the ark itself, but Noah and his family was safe in the ark. And that's how it is also in the life of faith, that when we press in with Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God in him secures us, so much so that even if the judgment of the last day comes upon us, we're secure, we're safe. Just like that child or that person standing there behind Niagara Falls watching, safe. Oh, you press up against that rock. He's the security of your life. That's what makes the difference. Oh, congregation, will you not enter? Will you not shut? And will you not hide even today? Why are some of you outside the door of mercy? Why? Why with all this, why stand outside? Why go lost? Why be exposed to the judgment of God, which you will never survive? When the Lord today says, enter, shut, and hide, and he adds to this, and this is our final thought for tonight. He says, come. Come. Which brings us to the invitation to hide. There's one word that I really skipped over and I left for now. It's the first word of our text, but I want to leave you with the Lord's help with that word. Come, my people. What an amazing word this is. It's such a tender word, come. You know, it would be one thing if the Lord said, go. Go over there, there's some shelter. Just run as fast as you can and try as hard as you can. Over there, go. The Lord says, come. He draws to himself. Come, come to me. I'm the hiding place. But I hear someone saying, but listen, look at the next words. Come, my people, it says. Why are you skipping over that? That excludes me. I'm not the Lord's people. So everything you've said thus far isn't for me. Oh, my dear friend, you've reasoned far too quickly. Who are these people of the Lord? You want to know who these people are of the Lord? Read Isaiah 1. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. They are a people bent on backsliding. They are a sinful nation, Isaiah says. A people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers. You see, congregation, the Lord wouldn't call his people as some unique kind of group who were already his people. to find shelter in him. No, they're already safe with him. He calls sinners far and wide. Like I said, people who should be his, who are his by creation, who are his by providence. He's watched over them. He's provided for them. He's called them many times, but they've rebelled against him times without number. You see, the Lord does this throughout his word so many times. Do you know that Psalter? Hear, O my people, my pleadings. O my people, hear my pleadings. O that thou wouldst hearken now. The Lord calls those things which are not as though they were. And he draws sinners to himself. My dear friend, whoever you are, isn't the Lord entitled to your obedience, entitled to your empty life? Isn't he deserving of your life? Well, he calls. He calls people in need of shelter, and he says, come. Oh, what a tender word, as I said. Come. It's as if the Lord knows our nature. He knows how, under the threatenings of judgment, a lot of times we run away, we get scattered, we're scared, we're tossed back and forth. And he says, no, come. Come to me. Come and hear my voice. There's one place of safety. Come, lingering sinner. You who are doubting, you who are trying to make up your mind, you think this, but then you think that, and you're lingering. You're not coming, but I say to you, come. Exposed to judgment as you are, come now, enter, shut, and hide. Someone else is paralyzed by anxiety, doesn't know what to do, doesn't know what to think. The Lord calls you as well. He says, come, my dear paralyzed sinner, whoever you are, come, and my words will draw you. Like Mephibosheth, I'll bring you to myself. It's not in you, but it's all in me. Some have taken some steps towards the Lord, but they're hesitant. What will this cost me? What will this mean for me? What will this mean about my friends? What will it mean about my future? You've taken a few steps, but you're doubting, you're wondering. And the Lord says too, he says, come, come also you, don't delay, don't deny me the pleasure of welcoming a sinner like yourself. Come and enter in and shut the door and hide in me. Many sinners have already come and hid in me. You too, come. You know, it's possible during days like these, when God's judgments are going over the earth, for people to be awakened with fear, with some sense of alarm. And then the noise of the world comes and distracts you. You're on your way, so to speak, but then you give up. Oh, my dear friends, don't let this word come. Leave your conscience, leave your mind. My friend, if you are at all awakened to your danger, don't return back to sleep. Don't say to your soul, just a little sleep, a little slumber, a little closing of the eyes to rest. Well, my friend, you don't know how close eternity is. God is saying to you in these days, eternity is closer than ever before. With every passing day, we are a day closer to the final judgment when it will break out torrentially upon this earth. And where will you be? What will your friends be to you then? What will your works righteousness do for you then? It will be like some little hut that you built of twigs. And you're crawling underneath this and you think that will save you? Two chapters later in Isaiah 28 verse 15, Isaiah warns about refuges of lies. And those who make falsehood their hiding place, Isaiah 28:15. Oh, my friend, a lie A falsehood won't do. But this tonight is the truth. God in Jesus Christ is the safety, the absolute safest place in all the earth, the only safe place for sinners upon the earth. And if you hide in him, then indignation cannot reach you, because it reached him. It came upon him. He was willing to come and to take this whole cup of the wrath of God, the indignation of an offended God. And God himself in Jesus Christ took this to his own lips, and he drank it for sinners, that they might never be condemned, that they might never go lost. And in order that the indignation would be overpassed, notice that word in our text, until the indignation be overpassed. It comes on Christ so it doesn't fall on the sinner. He is safe. She is sheltered. It all comes on him. Oh, blessed Jesus. Oh, wonderful Savior. Why? Why didst thou do it? Why didst thou come all the way to hide a sinner like me? I can't ever give anything back to thee. Why? For the likes of me, my friends, that is what is in the heart of a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for sinners like you and like me. Hide yourself for a little moment. You know, in times of trouble, it's good to know that really in the end of the day, trouble will only last for a little moment. It may seem long to us. Certainly some weeks of this calamity that we're under, it seems like a long time. But when you compare it with eternity, hide yourself for a little moment, for a few short minutes, hours, weeks, or years. Spurgeon says it'll be like the tick of a clock. And then all suffering, all misery, all indignation will forever be overpassed. Oh, keep that in mind if you're suffering today. If you're in difficulty today. Someone put it like this. They said, one breath of eternity after death, one breath of eternity will erase the afflictions of a lifetime for the most afflicted child of God. It'll all seem to be a faint memory, a moment, and then forever with the Lord, then forever safe. No more any threats, no more any indignation, but peace with God, heaven, a world of love, of happiness, of joy, where never Satan can enter in, where never sin can enter in, where never suffering, where never any viruses can ever enter in, but all sin will forever be closed out, and all joy and happiness will be closed in. Oh, my friends, I would to God that I could make you jealous to enter, shut, and hide in Christ today. It is so worth it. It is everything to be with Christ, which is so far better. Oh, don't stay outside the gate. Don't stay outside this hiding place. That would be a terrible thing, to not obey God's command, who says, come, my people, enter, shut, and hide yourself for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. May the Lord give it to his grace and for his glory. Amen. Let us pray.